This morning's scripture reading is adapted from the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Con, for being our liturgist this morning. To all of our volunteers, the deacons, and sound for making worship possible. Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations, the artwork, the expressionism of all of our hearts in response to your word this Totenfest be good and pleasing to you and healing for your people. Amen. So last Sunday, I understand, was Reformation Sunday. Is this right? Anyone remember a week ago? Very good. So it's been 500 years since the Reformation in the church. And so I believe it is good and proper for me to begin my sermon this morning, begin in a way our 501st year of the Reformation, by quoting Martin Luther himself. This is what Martin Luther thought of the book of Revelation. And this is a quote, and this is my Luther voice. "My spirit cannot accommodate itself to this book. For me, this is reason enough not to think highly of it. Christ is neither taught nor known in it." Martin Luther's reaction to the book of Revelation is not unique. Zwingli, another founder of the Reformation, also sternly rejected the book of Revelation, as have many of us in our lifetimes. And there is good reason for that. This, however, is one of those really complex texts. Not a comforting or easy narrative, or a story or a letter, but it is a volatile and dangerous one when misunderstood or misread, which is often the case in our times. This is because it emerged from the school or the community of John, but many, many years after the death of the apostles and the gospel writers. Rather, it is attributed to someone called John the Divine, and I love that name. Who doesn't want to be called something the divine? We can surmise from the context, the language, and the historical references that it is in response to persecution, death, hunger. It is, by every definition, an apocalypse. As such, it bears all of the weight, the burden, the pain, the anguish, the torture, the face of oppression, fear, loss, and death. It was written in a way as a tableau of grief in search of hope for a community and a people in great pain. An apocalypse in biblical literature is always a Totenfest of sorts. Rather than reading Revelation literally, for that is always a mistake when dealing with biblical apocalypse, we must hold it up to the light of paradigm and metaphor and human experience, painted words and story fragments. The book of Revelation, unlike the Gospels and the Pauline letters, is a raw, pure, complex experience of humans facing death and being transformed into a non-linear story. This book is a painting of grief and loss. So speaking of paintings, how many of you have ever been to a modern art museum? Okay, if you haven't been to one, let me recommend the Clifford Still Museum in Denver. So Clifford Still was a modern artist on the same plane as Jackson Pollock, but he's not as well known because he decided that his entire collection was one big story. And whichever city designed an art museum for him after he died, what do you think would happen? They'd get the whole thing. So Denver has the entire collection, pretty much, of Clifford Still. The reason I'm talking about modern art is today, in biblical terms, we are journeying into Scripture's Museum of Modern Art. We are entering together into a liminal literary space shared both by John the Divine, the author of the Revelation, and also the Bauhaus movement, abstract expressionism, modernism, surrealism, pointillism, and postmodern artwork. St. John the Divine was, in a way, one of the first abstract expressionists. I'm sorry, Jackson Pollock. When we encounter modern art, like encountering an apocalypse in literature, we must assume a couple of basic ground rules. The first, things are not necessarily as they appear. The second is that feelings, response, our response as the readers matters. The third is that we must pay attention to metaphor and colors, the big picture, and not get too hung up on just the details. And lastly, and most importantly, we must remember that it is in response to a world that is no longer explainable, relatable, or understandable with a narrative story. Words in their traditional sense have failed us. This is what the abstract expressionist movement was responding to after World War II. There's no way to describe the horror. We live again in such a world where words and traditional images have reached their logical limit of rational expression. Put simply in artistic terms, when we encounter the book of Revelation like we have this morning, think of Jackson Pollock rather than Rembrandt. While the Gospels and the letters of Paul are images we can easily relate to, with stories and personalities we generally understand, love them or hate them, learning to love the book of Revelation is much like the process of learning to understand modern or postmodern artwork. It is not to be taken literally, but rather artistically. Again, think of Jackson Pollock rather than Rembrandt. Think of Salvador Dali rather than Monet. Think of Clifford Still or Mondrian rather than Michelangelo. I feel like I'm teaching an art history class. This is really an alternate parallel reality, but it's great. One of my professors in seminary, Dr. Carl Holliday, wrote, "Counterbalancing the negative reaction to Revelation's influence on the church is its strong and wonderful influence through music and art. Some of the most memorable choruses from Handel's Messiah are drawn from Revelation. Even as it has inspired some of the most memorable visual arts throughout the centuries, its splendiferous," that's a great word again, "imagery captured the imagination of poets and artists, writers in every age and from every quarter. Any assessment of the Revelation must account for this aesthetic dimension of the work and its lasting legacy. When we read Revelation, we are called to respond with the creative side of our brains. That's not always easy for us as Congregationalists. We are called to respond with the creative side of our souls. When we read Revelation, we are allowed, we are given permission to be artists dealing in the delicate space of grief, bereavement, loss, death, and then the light of hope at the end." So I'm going to read the passage one more time, and I'm going to emphasize the colors and the images that come up for me. And I want you to pay close attention to the metaphors, the colors. What makes your heart jump? Words and phrases. I also invite you to close your eyes, if you like, and visualize the painting of emotions. Imagine this is a giant Jackson Pollock painting behind me. But instead of Jackson Pollock, it's John the Divine. All right, you ready? Close your eyes. I'm going to read it. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, rainbow, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, gold, and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches green in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne of the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, gold, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, are you the one who knows?" Then he said to me, "These are they that have come out of a great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood, red of the Lamb, white. For this reason they are before the throne, gold of God, and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun, yellow, will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, red. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the spring of cold water, clear blue, of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What do you see? How do you feel? Those are the questions the book of Revelation asks us. We have the beauty of the Revelation, its powerful imagery, its ability to bring peace, taken away from us often by those in the Christian faith who want to interpret it as a literal apocalypse or as a literal future and to draw fear into their followers. Anyone ever hear of the Left Behind series? Rather, I believe it is painted as an abstract picture of what it means to face death and loss in each of us in our lives. It is a picture of our daily deaths and our mini apocalypses. Since there isn't enough time for me to dig into all of the images, especially because pie awaits after worship, I want to draw your attention to one of the images in particular that is unique, only found in the book of Revelation, which might surprise many of us who thought we wanted to do away with this book. So many of us, like Luther, say we don't like this book, but the images we love in Christianity actually come from it. This image is from verse 17. "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." A God who will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This imagery is so important to the book of Revelation that John the Divine repeats it again in chapter 21, verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying in pain, for the old order of things has passed away." The word in Greek translated here as "wipe away" is only translated as "wipe away" twice in the entire Bible. And it is these two verses from Revelation that tells us to pay attention. The book of Revelation is unique in this motif and its intimate, kind, and loving imagery of God. This, friends, is gut-wrenchingly intimate. Have you ever wiped away someone's tear when he or she was crying? Touched someone's face and wiped away a tear? Have you ever had someone wipe away your own tear when you're weeping or grieving or in loss? This is something that I've never experienced. This is God at God's most intimate, familiar, gentle, in a time of great loss and mourning. Here at the conclusion of the Bible, if we look at the scope of the canon, we have journeyed from the book of Genesis with a God, or a collection of gods, a council of gods, if you read it in certain translations, who don't want you to even know their name, much less speak the name of God, a distant God. And we've journeyed to Revelation, where we have a God who is so known, so intimate, so loving, that God wipes away tears by hand from a multitude. Here at the conclusion of the canon, while often misrepresented as a book of violence and misread by evangelicals as a car instruction manual for the end of the world, really it is an abstraction on the theme of loss and hope. Its contrasts and its colors, its feelings. A God who wipes away tears is a God who is familiar with us. A God who reaches out with comfort of touch is a God who knows our pain, a God who has lived through the Gospels already. The tableau presented here in this abstract expressionist apocalypse is a complex image of life and death and pain and, yes, a glimmer of hope. We find ourselves on this Totenfest or Death Sunday at the end of the biblical canon. There's nothing left to say. In the midst of a confusing and complex world, and a confusing and complex artistic interpretation of pain and fear. In a time when the words and stories could no longer be effective, they turned to apocalypse. Only one genre will do now. We are offered something unfamiliar: colors, imagery, raw emotion and community, all of that. Yet despite that, God comes through the dizzying array of colors and metaphors and similes and reaches out for our face and wipes away our tears. Today, only a week after Reformation Sunday, I revel in saying Martin Luther was wrong. And since I'm not Lutheran, I can say that. Or at least in this case, around the book of Revelation, Martin Luther missed the point entirely, albeit modern art hadn't been invented yet, so we'll give him a pass. Revelation doesn't necessarily point directly to Christ, but rather it paints a picture of the deepest struggles, the fears, the isolation, the loss, the many apocalypses and ongoing deaths and struggles we all face. Revelation paints a picture of grace and hope with color and art, and with God's hand reaching through the storms of life to wipe away the tears of the beloved, of you. So we remember those we have lost, our saints, our friends, our beloved. And today I think we also remember and recall the little deaths we all face every day, when we know we aren't living the lives we thought we were promised, when we work in unfulfilling or political contexts, when a child you helped raise and love, perhaps a son or daughter, turns and says something hateful, when we face loneliness and isolation. What parts of you or yourself are you mourning the death of this morning? Whatever the answer to these questions, God emerges in a revelation of hope in the midst of darkness to wipe away and be present with every tear that falls. This is what I see for God's people this morning in the abstract expressionist tableau of the book of Revelation. Amen.